On today's podcast, your hosts TC and Chris Nicole review the 2024 Arnold Classic. Okay, guys, we are back. We have been traveling for forever, it feels like.
It always feels like forever.
Yeah. We had events back on back-to-back weekends with traveling in between. So, we're just regrouping because we're going to be in the car and and traveling again. But our first event was a powerlifting event and strict curl event that you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so what was it, February 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there was that weekend for February. It was the Iron Built Classic held at Iron Built Gym in Ashland, Virginia.
Which is a sweet gym.
Yeah, it was a very, very nice gym. It's home of IPF Super Heavyweight World Champion Ray Williams.
Yes.
And the most famous person you've never heard about, Ken Stewart.
We love you, Ken.
Yeah, he's the man. He's definitely some brains behind the operation.
He's instrumental in so much. Yeah.
He's been definitely a guiding force. But that event went very well. We had a lot of compliments on the venue, a lot of compliments on the flow of the event, a lot of compliments on the design for the t-shirt, just overall good positive feedback. So I'm excited to be able to build on that. We have the Battle of the Border coming up next in April, and then we have American Challenge for North Carolina. Kicking off the American Challenge series before our June event on June 1st. So,
yeah, it's been really cool to see how the events have continued to evolve. And I really enjoyed the camaraderie of the athletes at this past Iron Bowl Classic. I feel like everybody was hype. There was great energy. Everybody's flight was their family. They were just you could meet the first person for the first time. And I feel like there were other people jumping in there to help you. We had some people that are very first time competitors, have never competed before. And then, of course, we have our seasoned veterans. If you want to see a reel, you can go to Reckless Training on Instagram, reckless_training, or follow 100% Raw. What is the handle for that?
Raw_powerlifting_federation.
Okay. So that'll give you a glimpse of the basically highlight reel of what the event was like.
Yeah, and which that highlight reel was, it was all athlete videos, which was, in my opinion, kind of cool. It's nice when you have a professional photographer, videographer there to capture the event, but I think it's also cool to see it from when you get this athlete footage and you're watching that reel, it makes you feel like you're an athlete there, whereas when you look at a videographer reel, it makes the event look super cool, but it doesn't really, it might not necessarily put you in the environment as much as these videos do.
Well, and people got to select what videos they wanted.
Yeah.
So that's always nice too. Sometimes you watch a reel and you're oh, there I am for 2 seconds, but there's something else that you wish would have been captured. Yeah. And you can always count on powerlifters to record themselves doing their lifts. Well, not themselves, but have someone record their lifts for them. So we had some pretty good content. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the space was so, the vibe, I don't know how else to describe it. The lighting, you just couldn't take a bad picture.
Yeah. It was on point. It was a great weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been exciting to continue to host events and kind of evolve along with the Federation and with strength sports in general. And so after we broke down at that event, we hopped in the car and started driving.
Mentally? Wait,
I'm breaking down every day at this point, but yes, we got in the car and we started driving to Columbus. So we worked throughout the week, but we thankfully had a place to stay for most of the week in Columbus, thanks to our friend Sam, who booked Airbnb, which was great. Just giving us one, it's just nice to hang around her a bunch and make, she lives on the west and we lived on the east, so it's nice to kind of have a lot of time together. Especially show day can be really fast, and it's hurry up, get ready, celebrate, and then you're flying home. So it was cool to spend some time, but it was also really nice to have some space where we could take care of our athletes. And I know you're doing a ton of work like always.
Yeah, just like organizing. So the Arnold for me was very much a canvassing event. I spoke with a bunch of different companies in terms of coming on as a sponsor for our Miami meet, whether it's the Reckless Miami Mayhem or the Strict Curl event. Since it's both on the same day in the same area, it doesn't really matter which event the people want to sponsor. They're going to be sponsors for the entire day. So, but yeah, I talked to people like Jeremy over at Flex Comics, Justin with Serious Steel Fitness and Zone Smelling Salts. We talked to... I talked to Ryan from Barefoot Shoes. I'm spacing on a couple. I believe it was Ken from Cerebrus Equipment. Michael from Wolfpack Bags. Omar from Rascal Apparel. That's always been one of my favorite t-shirt companies. They just make really cool designs, and it's a little pricier, but in my opinion, like, the return on it is, I cannot wear a Rascal Apparel t-shirt without someone commenting on it. And I like being different. I drive Eurovans and Festivas because I can't stand like driving something that everyone else has. So for me, like, just the uniqueness of their apparel.
Everyone does come out on his shirts.
It's crazy.
Everywhere we go. Yeah. Where'd you get that shirt? You were wearing Carbs Are Bad. I don't know if they still sell that shirt, but that is a really...
Yeah, that one and my other Rascal, I'm not sure that it's still on their website.
Those are good shirts, though. The Carbs Is Bad has a donut on the front of it, like a caricature with like a tattoo on its arm.
He's got the mom tattoo, cigarette
in his mouth.
A ring.
Yeah, just like a badass.
And he's like strutting down the street. Like
a badass donut. Yeah.
So bad.
Carbs Are Bad.
So, my other one is, this isn't even my final form.
Yeah.
Which, like, I can relate to that because it never will be, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I get comments on it. Sometimes people look at it sideways and they're like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. But most of the time people look at it, where'd you get that shirt?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have Eat Your Veggies.
Yeah, I have a broccoli stalk with big muscles that says Eat Your Veggies.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I found humorous.
Mm-hmm.
I saw someone else wearing that. That's why when we finally got some.
I think it was Rome. Roman.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, I need that shirt.
Yeah, Roman had that shirt. So when we ended up getting our shirts from, I got the Carbs Are Bad and you got the Veggies one from when we stopped at Untamed Strength.
That's right.
I want to say Sacramento is where they are, I think. But
we were in Sacramento?
I think so. I feel like when we were driving from Reno out to San Francisco, I feel like that was where we were.
Okay.
Stop on the way.
Okay.
But I knew I wanted to stop at that gym, and that was the next week after I pulled 805. I went and I tried to do it on calibrated plates, and I misloaded the bar like an idiot and hurt my hamstring. So that was the initiation of my back injury,
I
believe.
Oh, my gosh. But we had the shirts as mementos.
Yeah. And I'm sure I would have lifted the 828. I would have been able to tell everyone I lifted the 828 by now, but if I didn't put the extra red on the other side. But people were talking to me, and I wasn't paying attention, and that's what happens. Like, count your plates, people.
Hey, yeah, yes. And make sure that I've seen people put the wrong... They'll be the same size, but they'll put the wrong...
I put wrong bumper plates on there.
Yeah.
When I'm unloading I realized I had a 15 instead of a 25 or something.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, it was fucked up.
You just have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, that was another trip. Back to
off that tangent.
Oh yeah. Come you back. Were talking to vendors, you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. So reached out to all of them this week to try to bring them on. I'm looking for a lot of stuff for the athlete goodie bags. Mm-hmm. So my goal, I have committed to doing athlete goodie bags for all the strong lifting athletes. My goal is to have enough supplies to do goodie bags for the Strict Curl athletes as well, because mm-hmm. I really want to turn this Strict Curl event into, like, you know, one to remember. So I also ordered the Best Lifter Awards for the Strict Curl and for strong lifting last week. So that was exciting. I finally pulled the trigger on that. I was like hemming and hawing. Like, I really wanted to make sure I had the exact right things that I wanted. And
they're sweet.
Yeah, I think we landed on some pretty
cool things. Already people talking about them on Instagram.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And then what else did we do? We put the deposit down on the screens for Miami. And we're working on finalizing the metal designs for the strong lifting.
Oh yeah.
So
Yeah, we're getting moving. But if you have people that love strength sports, or they have a company that they would like to be sponsored, they want to sponsor an event, this is going to be a rare event. Like, strong lifting competition is, again, six lifts, not strong man, strong lifting. Mm-hmm. So six lifts with Brick and chairs. So yeah, if you can reach out to TC on Instagram, or at Reckless Training on Instagram, if you have ideas of people that would be, that would want to help support.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a bunch of different, ways in which we can advertise for these companies. I have a 30 by 90 rectangle, so we can put banners up on the outside. We have two big 15-foot wide LED screens, one behind each platform, that, you know, we can have logos on, or we can do video commercials. Obviously shout outs throughout the event. We can put your logo and a clickable URL link on the website.
There's lots of
opportunities. Oh yeah, lots and lots of opportunities. So, and even if it's just like material for my goodie bags, I don't charge for people to put stuff in my bags, because my goal at the end of the day is to create an athlete experience worth coming back to. So I'm always an athlete first, and then a meet director second. So I'm pouring everything I have into these meets, and we don't make a dime on these meets, and I'll probably end up losing money on this one, but it is what it is, because it's going to be worth it, I think. So
yeah, I think it'll be a good time.
But yeah, a lot more information coming next week. We will have a podcast where we go over a lot of the like rules and details. We're planning on having a special guest next week, so make sure that you subscribe and tune in.
I'm giving him a look. Don't say anything yet. We have to iron out a little bit of the details, but yeah, that will be happening. Okay, so back at the Arnold again.
we go back to Columbus. Get out of Miami.
yes. So yeah, you took us to California and Florida.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. Because I'm just trying to get warm.
Whew, okay.
It was 27 degrees and raining on Friday in Columbus.
Yeah.
In all fairness, it was like 70 on Sunday, but
it was beautiful on
Sunday. It still hurt my feelings, and it stuck with me.
It was hard. Yeah. Break out those winter coats. Okay, so then our friend Sam competed in the Bikini Amateur on Friday. There were other amateur categories that went on Thursday, but Bikini and Wellness was on Friday, and that's what we attended. And she did fantastic. Yeah, we're so proud. So Sam is a friend of mine. We've been friends for I don't know how long. But supporting other people in the sport is, I think, just a very special opportunity. And she and I just kind of connected and became friends. And she supported me last year competing. She came out to one of my shows. Did my makeup. Like, if you know her, she's such a sweetheart. And she really is about, like, people. So it was fun to fly to her warm-up show in LA. And then we were all going to the Arnold. So we got to stay in the Airbnb together. And then I got to support her through the show. So, yeah, we got there. She went to her appointments in the morning because she's getting hair, makeup, tan. And
this is Friday.
Yeah. And then her mom and TC and I told everybody what time we were leaving in the morning, needed to be ready, all hopped in the car. And we got to the venue super early because I wanted to make sure we could get good seats. And the stage is absolutely beautiful. I mean, that's where the pros do their finals at. And it's nice and big. The lighting is cool. There's plenty of seats. Like, it was a really nice, space. And yeah, we watched the bikini categories. It was a little bit smaller than I had anticipated. I think because it is a pro qualifier, I think more people would be attending from other countries, but it was also early in the year. And so, not everybody can diet and get it together during the holidays. And I'm not saying that in as like sideways to anyone. I'm raising my hand here. Okay, two hands up. But I think that it's a great opportunity. And the overall for the open class, the top two in the overall win their pro card. So congratulations to Sam, because she did place second in the overall and won her IFBB pro card. And
Chris couldn't cheer for her. What a terrible friend.
Because no. I was bawling my eyes out.
You can hear in all the videos, Chris is screaming for Sam. And then when they announce her as the second place and she gets the new IPB Pro second place, like, it's silent because Chris just started crying and couldn't cheer for her anymore.
I'm a very emotional person. Mm. And I just know that when they awarded, the figure girl, I started crying. I don't even know this girl and I started crying, but I just know that it takes so much work.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult and you hit so many roadblocks and you just have to like keep going. And there's people that like try for years just to achieve this prestigious title. And so anybody that's getting that card and they're like smiling or they're crying or whatever, I just feel all those feels with them. My grandpa would cry at people's weddings. He didn't even know. So I take all those emotions with me. And so it's not just my clients. Like, my first national show is backstage congratulating all these people I didn't know, because I see it as, again, an opportunity just to support people. And I saw Sam doing that too. She was running around saying congratulations to the other girls that were, you know, the girl who got first in her overall class, she made sure to shout out, and like the wellness girl that won her, which she was amazing looking too. You know, and that's what it's about. It's like good attitudes in the sport, surrounding yourself with people that that are just good. They're just good people. There's plenty. The more that I get involved in the sport, the more I see the juxtaposition of like trash and really good, like quality people. So, yeah, it was really great. But yes, I moved to the middle aisle. So TC and Sam's mom and I were sitting in the front row, but kind of off to the left. And I jumped into the middle front row. Like, I don't know if I could get any closer when they brought out the overall winners, and they didn't even like compare them yet. But I looked over at TC because I heard the announcer say, we're going to award two pro cards in this overall bikini category. So I looked over at TC and he mouthed to me, she's going to win. And then I just started crying from there. Nothing had happened yet. I was already...
No, you didn't believe me. I gave you a heads up. And then when she won...
No, you said, you mouthed, she's going to win. Yeah. And then I
started... look worried.
No, I started crying. I was crying because that just even imagining that moment was super special. And then I cried more when she actually did win. So, and I tried really hard to hold the camera still. But congratulations to Sam. We love you so much. And we're very, very proud of all your hard work. And it was awesome to be there to support a friend. And congratulations to Coach Paul. Paul Ravella is her coach as well. He's done a fantastic job. Like, just watching her transform both mentally and physically has been really amazing. And I think just when you have great leadership and you have a drive, it's just an unmatched pairing. So congratulations to both of them, because it's a win for both parties. So, her mom didn't even cry. I cried. But we all got to celebrate Sam on Friday. And then what happened?
She got her IFBB Pro jacket.
Yes, she won an IFBB Pro jacket.
And then I had to call you to make sure it was okay to wear it.
She's so humble that, yeah, I think like walking around with that title is probably feels a little bit uncomfortable.
It's like your birthday. You're like, you still feel 15, but you just turned 16. It's like, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, we got her IFBB jacket. We walked around the expo a little bit. Not much. I think everybody was pretty exhausted.
Yeah,
on Friday
was pretty, yeah.
And then we kind of just relaxed. I think we went to the gym later that afternoon because my brain was all over the place and I just needed like an activity to focus on. It was a lot of emotions that day and gym's always cathartic. So,
yeah, we went to some recovery work.
Yeah. That's what we focused on.
Yep. And then the next day was Saturday and Sam and her mom, went to the airport.
Yeah.
We checked out of the Airbnb. We packed the car up, drove to the expo, mm-hmm. walked around, talked to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You watched pre-judging.
Yes.
I tried to. And then I tried to find you in that mass of people, and yeah, I said, no, that's not going to happen. So yeah. I just talked to more people.
I did see it. I had to stand on my tippy toes, so I got a good calf workout. But I was recording it, but I was also trying to look with my eyes because stuff on a screen looks very different, and I had the opportunity to see physiques in person. So I tried to, like, capture some things because there's definitely, like, a moment to look back on, like, either posing or criteria. But I was trying to look with my eyes because I feel like that's invaluable. But yeah, prejudging was in the expo, and man, I could not pick a, I would be a horrible judge in that situation. I am. So the common things that I'm seeing with bikini specifically is no hardness in the hamstrings, like very little. They're pretty smooth, and it's like glutes and then smoothness down the leg. And maybe that's something I focus a lot on because my hamstrings are pretty hard. So I'm always like looking at their legs, but same thing for like what they've pretty much always awarded, like a tight waist. And the conditioning, I think, is probably one of the biggest things because girls in bikini have gotten a little bit harder here and there. When I went to Los Angeles, they were awarding like bikini conditioning that wasn't super crisp but not super soft. It was like that perfect in between, and I'm seeing that consistently. So it's like I've seen it on a regional level, I'm seeing it on a pro level, and the season's just getting started, but it is nice to see that that is a continual thing that is like trending from show to show. And top two obviously was Amy Delgado and Laura Lee Chapados, and like there's a ton of content, so I'm not going to like go too far into this. Everybody's like reviewing the results, and there's a ton of stuff on Instagram. But the main theme is that they're two different bodies. Laura Lee's like long and lean. Well, they're all lean, but she's longer.
Yeah, she's string bean.
And Amy Delgado's has more of an athletic look, which reminded me a lot of Angelica,
yeah.
Which I always prefer. I like those like bigger, fuller muscles. I'm also a fan of wellness, so maybe that's why. But both of them had like the appropriate musculature for their physique. So that's why Sandy always talks about building your physique for you. Like it has to look good on you. You can't have Laura Lee's physique on Chris Nicole's body. That's impossible. But you have to build the physique to complement your structure. But it was two totally different looks. And I don't know. They said it was a 1-point difference, so I don't know what the dividing line was. But I can tell you Laura Lee's posing stood out like it always does.
Yeah. I think just half of the judges had her in first and half had Amy in first.
It's, you know, wild.
It was just like you said, just 1 point.
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, you can watch tons of reels of Laura Lee posing on Instagram. It's like everywhere. I get on Instagram, it's everywhere, but it's beautiful.
Then you were able to talk to her.
Yes, I did get to talk to Laura Lee, which was, I've never talked to her before. So,
you talked to her twice. The first time when I didn't get a picture.
Well, I said congratulations to her. I saw her in the hallway, and then I did get to talk to her in the expo. And I first asked her, I said, "How are you feeling?" And she like looked at me. She said, "I'm okay." She said, "I think that I'm just not processing any of this right now." She says, "It's all happening so fast." She said, "When I get on the plane, well, I'll probably sleep on the plane, but after that, I'll probably start processing it."
Well, and this isn't the first time she's won the Arnold either.
No, this is her third time.
Yeah, so she knows, par for the course.
But but that's encouraging to me because I always feel like these things are so overwhelming, and competing on top of that. And doing like the, like meeting the people and being in a an event with a ton of crowds, like it's overwhelming for me. So to hear her say that she was like, it was a lot. I just appreciate when people are like down to earth and like real. And I did then ask her, I said, what advice would you give to someone who is wanting to improve their posing, or or specific advice to a pro that wants to improve her posing? And I said, I've only done a few shows, so it's still new territory to me. And she said, is that something that you're struggling with? And I said, well, yeah, but I also had in mind, like, my clients and probably the rest of the bikini community that's like trying to get like an upper level posing. And she said, it just takes that stage time. She said, it's good to practice like on your own. It's good to like go through the routine. But there's nothing that will match that morning of like getting your hair, your makeup, your tan done, going out on a stage in front of a judging panel and a bunch and an audience, which I appreciated, because you can practice a million times on your own, but there's nothing that matches that environment. And that it's harder, I think, to control your mindset, your demeanor, and then all that translates into your posing as well. So it's like anything, just more reps should help with translating over into like smoother posing. So I appreciated that advice. And she said, I'm as insecure as anybody, and gave me a couple of like other nice words of encouragement. So I really appreciated that conversation. That did make another big impact on the weekend. So yeah, she seems like a really down-to-earth sweet person.
Yeah, and I think that practice with the different shows, you can have your posing perfect, right? Exactly mm-hmm. the way you want it to, but it's your stage presence, I think, that really gets developed.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, competing on a regular basis, which like you see people like Ashley Kay, who competes like 50 times a year.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
she's just walking around now. She has never looked comfortable in heels to me, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that might just be how she walks. Whereas some people, like some women, like really wear the heels.
Yes.
And sometimes those heels wear them, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being up on a stage it's a great way to practice.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
So, and you're also going to, I think, like certain venues better than other venues. Like certain stages are going to be better than other stages. Like your stage in Tahoe is trash. But it was outside, you know, and they did a good job, like, you know, keeping it together through COVID. But
yeah, well, they were doing what they could with
exactly
the last minute.
Yeah, but it was still fucked up. So
well, it was
wonky.
It was crooked.
Yeah, yeah, and a little soft in some places, and like.
But that wasn't my problem at
all. No. But still, you know, I was just making the point that, you know, certain venues are going to be a little different, and the more pieces of the puzzle that you can have firmly in place when you arrive to that venue, whether it's new or you've been there before, I think the higher your chance of success.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, bikini, a Larly 3-time Arnold champion. She did it. Okay. And I did see that Ashley Kay was really bummed that she wasn't there. I mean, you see Ashley Kay everywhere, but I think she was having eye surgery, so she had chose to not compete in the Arnold. I heard her saying she had massive FOMO, but it was kind of cool to see some of these new, like Octavia was from Italy. Most athletes I felt like were coming from Brazil or United States. Phoebe Hagen from UK was there, but, and Mexico. There were some athletes. Okay. There are people from all over the place.
It is the international.
Yes. You know? Yeah. But everyone looked amazing. It was very impressive. Okay, let's cover, what do you want to talk about next?
Wellness? Yeah, real quick. Yeah.
Okay, so Francieli Matos, I'm so sorry I'm saying that name bad.
Wait, how much did Laura Lee win?
I don't know.
Oh.
I can Google it real quick.
No, you don't have to. I thought you had it up. That's why I was asking.
No, I know how much men's open won.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
It's not that as... It's not as much anywhere near as much, but Francieli, she I believe won her pro card at the Arnold a couple of years ago, and now
I think before it was in the Olympia.
Before it was in the Olympia.
Yeah, I think the year that it was its inception year was they had it for competition on the pro stage, but it wasn't in the Olympia the first year. And I believe that that's the first time that she won the Arnold. And then the next year is at the Olympia.
Yeah. So I pulled her up on NPC News Online
and then she won the first Olympia.
Guys, you should go on there and look at the 2019 pictures.
Why?
Because wellness is called fitness, which is not the fitness category we know today. And it's her first show, like documented, was in South America. So it's Arnold Amateur South America 2019 was her first show. But it is wellness posing because I scrolled through and it is wellness posing. It's just a little bit of that criteria that they like fine tuned, like they don't want the wrist out. So she definitely adapted her posing to what the NPC preferred. But she, needless to say, she won the Arnold Amateur in South America. And then the next year she won the muscle contest and she won the Arnold Amateur in 2020. So that's where she won her pro card. And then continued on to win the Olympia the next year and then the next year. And then the next year. And now she's won the Arnold. She's just unstoppable.
Yeah.
But I know Isabella won the Arnold last year.
Yeah, but Francieli wasn't there.
Yeah, Francieli was not there. So Francieli is the woman to beat in wellness.
And she came in second. Isa came in second this year, right?
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. It's amazing, these wellness girls. But I also liked, what's her name? Bruna, she came in fourth. But that's another girl I've been following on Instagram. I just really like her look. And I feel like she does a really good job of exemplifying wellness for a brunette. Because I feel like we have a lot of like beautiful blondes. And I think she's my favorite brunette for wellness. But good job to her, fourth place. I think that criteria is definitely getting nailed down. Okay. Yeah,
which is helping to solidify the bikini criteria too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what was happening is bikini was getting a little too big. And then they brought wellness over from, you know, South America. They brought it into the contiguous US IFBB.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helps smooth it out because now you don't have to get your shoulders as big for bikini. You don't have to get your legs as big. You don't have to look as muscular. And you don't have to be as hard and lean. So now they have a different division for all of those characteristics. So
yeah, and the wellness category is not as hard as figure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's still some softness to it, but that's why they call it wellness is because that's what they want it to look like. They want it to look, you know, still feminine and
yeah, they're harping healthy on that too a lot this year. But I love wellness. I think it's beautiful. I'd be okay with glutes. Legs like that. And Francieli wore like a blue color this year, which she is always wearing red.
There's a lot of blue and purple and green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red was hot last year. There's a lot of other. It's like a blue purple. Yeah.
I feel like it goes back and forth. I mean, like these big name pros, they just looked and then whatever's up there, they just try to do something different.
So. And you always get some random one because Isabella wore pink. I've never seen her wear pink. So it's interesting. Okay, let's move on to some men's categories. All right. So do you want to talk about the classic physique?
Sure. I forget his name.
Wesley Vissers.
I've seen him a few times. Like he's been in the top 10 at the Olympia the last 2 years. So obviously he hasn't been like overlooked per se, but, I feel like sometimes these bigger names can kind of overshadow some other people.
Yeah.
But apparently he came in hot this year. Dino ended up taking second to this guy.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure pissed him off. I'm sure of it. But I feel like I think that Dino is an exceptional athlete. I think he's an exceptionally fluid poser.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's good at maintaining the isometric contractions that you need to maintain in order to properly present all of your muscle groups in certain poses.
We did see that difference between him and Chris.
And Chris, yeah, and that was when we were looking at the Olympia results last year. And I think that this guy does a really Vissers does a very good job at maintaining that presentation.
Oh my gosh! Here you go. Shed some light onto it. Wesley Vissers in 2018 went to the Olympia and came in 16th. Oh my gosh, this is wild. Okay, so he won Chicago Pro, came in 16th at the Olympia. This is all in, 16th at the Olympia in 2018. I just like to see how long it took people to keep climbing up to the top. And then he's won several shows overseas. I think that's why we don't see a ton of him.
Yeah, he competes.
He's competing.
He competes overseas more.
He got 10th in his first Arnold Classic.
Which
in 2019.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask if that's 21 because I feel like that's when I first saw him. I feel like I saw him coming at the bottom of something. And I thought he like had a impressive physique. Mm-hmm. There's like his rib cage is wonky.
Yes.
It's like it sticks out and that like kind of throws me off. And when he's on stage, sometimes it's like I feel like it's a straight line across there, and sure. It kind of throws his physique off a little bit, like but
cuts it in half a little.
Yeah, it's weird, it's strange, but like in this picture, that's anyone watching we have a picture of him up on the screen. It's just a front pose, and like his proportions are just wild. His lats are enormous and full. His midsection is super tiny and tight. And he has all of the lines. You look at his shoulders are striated, his pecs are striated, his legs are striated. Like, he did a great job bringing the proper conditioning, bringing the proper size and proportions. And I just think he did a good job putting this package together.
He's got really deep conditioning in his legs.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Wow. And, like, so this picture that we're looking at has him right next to Hadi. And who's, like, Hadi, I mean, he's known for his conditioning. This man is, like, feathered everywhere. But you can't see his sartorius and his adductors, like, that whole region, his inner thigh. Is relatively flat. It's very vascular, so you can tell it's lean, but when you compare it to Vissers, his sartorius and his adductors, like it's just there's no comparison. The detail is just crazy.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah. So the last in 2023, Wesley was first for the Europa Pro, and that's how he got to the Olympia. Is that right? Yeah, and then he came in 7th. At that last year's Olympia.
Yeah.
So, like, he keeps climbing each year. I mean, he's been to the Olympia a couple times.
I imagine with this first place finish at the Arnold, you'll see him in top five at the Olympia this year.
He was 8th. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to see.
Because I think Urs was at the Arnold as well, right? He came in third again. Urs just, like, keeps getting those third place awards, man. I'm sure he's tired of seeing that bronze. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Third place at the Olympia is nothing to sneeze at. So,
the Arnold.
Well, we're talking about the Arnold right now, but I was referring to the
third in the world.
Yeah, yeah, that's still pretty freaking good.
Yeah. And then we had the men's open bodybuilding, which they had prejudging and finals in two different days. So we live streamed. By the way, the finals we live streamed.
Yeah, it was a free live stream.
We can't afford the tickets. But I actually like the live stream because I feel like sometimes you get interesting commentary.
Well, and there's always something to make fun of with those friggin' chuckleheads are saying too. So
yeah, I find sometimes it's good.
Sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, duh.
I find it very entertaining. And I like that they've brought Janet Leung on there to talk about the female categories a little bit more rather than like the male commentary being like, I like her suit. She's got a great color suit. That's fantastic. But yeah, so Hadi Choupin came in first. He dethroned.
Yeah, he has something to prove this year.
Oh my gosh.
There's no need for him to compete. He's already qualified for the Olympia. He came to aim to send a message.
He wanted to. He's never won the Arnold. So this was like another like milestone that he wanted to achieve is winning the Arnold. So Samson Dauda won it last year because Hadi wasn't there.
Correct.
And so
I guess Chris wasn't, but I thought he was. I thought Chris Bumstead was at the Arnold last year. I thought I remember seeing him.
He does like appearances. Maybe he did guest
posing or something.
But he doesn't compete in anything but the Olympia.
Huh. Yeah. So.
But anymore at least. But I enjoyed watching open bodybuilding. Hadi is like a lot of energy, and so it does bring a show, I think, to the category. And we saw Arnold like taking selfies. He always takes selfies with the bodybuilders behind him to post, which I think is always entertaining. We did see him walking around at one point too. But at one point, Hadi was like, Arnold's on stage with him trying to like interview him, and Hadi is just like, holding his trophy. He's like, back is turned to Arnold, and he's holding his trophy out, arms straight out in front of him, just smiling and staring at his trophy. He's like having his moment. And he also did, when they started interviewing him, he ran backstage, or he asked for his coach to come out. Rambod. Yes, yeah. Thank you. And he brought him out and like picked him up and spun him around. It was like it was fantastic. Hani speaks Farsi, so his coach also does. And even though they had a translator there, that was kind of like having a little bit of trouble, I think, because Hadi was just like rambling.
I think his translator is someone, it's like maybe a friend of Hadi who speaks a little bit of English, enough English to translate. Whereas Hani Rambod, like, he's very fluent in both languages.
So. He knows the sport lingo too.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes that's half of the, because I had a friend who spoke Farsi, and it was like understanding how to talk about bodybuilding in a different language. So it's very interesting. Yeah.
You don't really realize how many like metaphors is not the right word, but how many ways that Americans choose to like describe something that doesn't necessarily translate exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes things get lost in translation. Sometimes things can't be translated. Sometimes you have to think more literally and then translate it. So it's interesting.
Yeah. So I liked seeing them like super happy, and Arnold had some funny interview questions too, I felt like, for people. I don't remember what he asked Hadi. Do you remember?
No, but after he spun Hadi around, he was like, and they are both straight.
Oh yeah. and Arnold made some comments on the men's physique legs. He said, you must be working legs this year. You guys are working legs, because that is part of the criteria that Tyler Mannion put out. So the men's physique competitors are getting some nice leg volume. So yeah, it was a fun experience.
Which the men's physique was a new winner as well. It's not in this picture. We found this picture on Fitness Vault. But the men's physique winner Diago Montenegro, who that was his first time winning. He has been climbing as well.
Yeah.
They talked about that, how, you know, he's been climbing. But, so.
He looks great.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see what colors people wore on stage. He wore light blue. And I feel like bikini and, I guess, wellness too. But men's physique, there's so many variations in, like, color style and... I do feel like it does make a big difference depending on the back of the... When all the bodies are so good, like, your outfit, so to speak, has to really stand out in the right ways.
Yeah, everything has to match.
And then we had, fitness. I forget her name. I watched her routine. It was amazing. Yes, Ariel. Thank you. Kadar. Yeah. So there's a couple that were, I feel like there was a lot of, besides Loralee and Francielli, there's a lot of new crowned winners. I think it made for an exciting event.
Urs was not at the Arnold. No, that's open. Yeah, don't listen to me.
Yeah, he was third.
Yeah. Here it is.
So, do you have any comments on any of the strength sports? Unless you want to talk more about classic.
No, not really. I was just kind of, sorry guys, I was scrolling through these pictures here. Yeah, Dino's proportions are just crazy, but look at his legs, and it's just the detail, man. And I'm sure it's just not holding things properly, but yeah, it's...
I saw Dino at tanning.
And Breon looking angry, as usual.
No, you babe.
Yeah, strength sports. So USAPL, they used to be on the outskirts, like in the hallway on the outside. And we were talking to Gino, the announcer for them, and apparently I think they pissed Rogue off or something, and then Rogue kicked him out of that space, but then they ended up, their punishment was getting a space inside the actual expo itself. So with some nice like elevator bleachers, and they had a nice little two platform event set up. They did their pro series lifting, a lot of impressive lifts going on out there. And like a 10 times body weight total, you're not going to get first place in a USAPL. Definitely not a pro series meet, but I would say anything above a state level meet, you're not going to get first place unless you have 10 times body weight total. Under the 90, like 83 kilos and below. I don't remember if they do 83 or 82.5 right now, but below that, like any weight class down there, you have to have a 10 times body weight total and then some to be successful. The 90 kilo class, and again, I can't remember if it's IPF who's holding to the 93 kilo class or USAPL. I always get those two mixed up. So whether it's 90 or 93, that class is encroaching on a 10 times body weight total. Which that was always my goal, was to be the first one there. And, that hasn't happened yet, but there's still time.
Yes.
But still, like, just exceptionally impressive athletes over there. And so we went over, talked to A7 a little bit. They're going to be coming on and, sponsoring our event in Miami as well. So I'm trying to build that partnership and maybe get some custom shirts, have them make some custom singlets for us. But, those one more. One more connection, but yeah, then there's also the XPC, which is, I believe it's the Extreme Powerlifting Coalition. I don't know very much about them. I believe they use a monolift. I'm not sure if they're drug tested. Like, yeah, I really don't know too much about them.
We did see some athletes compete, mm-hmm. That we knew, in the Strict Curl.
Yeah. And then Strict Curl Nation did their, Strict Curl event at the Arnold. I want to say they had like five flights. I think it was like three, or maybe it was six. Maybe it was three and three, or maybe it was three flights of women and two flights of guys. No, there's three, I believe. But yeah, some great lifts there as well. Big Joe finally hit 100 kilos on the platform. I know he's been wanting that for a while, so congratulations to Big Joe. Which, by the way, he's looking for sponsorships as well. So give that shout out there. And GT, Gary Teeter.
Yeah.
He was up there as well, and. He's just a great ambassador to the sport as well. Like there are a lot of great, great lifters that are just so positive and genuine and just out there having a good time and trying to share those positive vibes with other people and paying it forward, essentially, Yeah. So, and I think that's great. Like, I've always held to the notion that God gives you the success so that you can reach back and help someone else, if you're out there, if you're successful, make sure that you're looking behind you, see who you can be helping up. So, and Maverick, I got to talk to Maverick, after his lifts, he went for 2 for 3 that day and, probably didn't have the exact day he wanted, but he had a good day nonetheless.
An inspiring story.
Yeah. He's got a really crazy story. I talked to him about bringing him on the podcast as well. And I think they're doing a Netflix documentary on him. So, he asked that instead of doing it over the phone, he asked that we, come out and sit down and do it in person so that maybe we can include that podcast in the Netflix documentary. So, that'll be pretty cool. But yeah, Maverick is a great guy as well. And we ran into Carl Wesley.
Yeah.
He is our Texas chairman. And he also runs the Strict Curl Everything page. He's a great ambassador to the sport as well. He's out there really pumping up Strict Curl just as a standalone event, and he's doing a lot of good things for popularizing that as well. So
yeah, so it was a good time. It was fun to see like bodybuilding and strength sports all in the same spot. Like I felt like all my worlds were colliding because my friend was there, my coach was there, and then all these people that we've like seen at Raw events were there. And then I got to, you know, talk with pros and people that I, you know, see on Instagram that I got to have conversations with, and coaches. I got to talk to Adam Atkinson, which was a great conversation. Just somebody I have really much respect in sport in a coaching capacity. And it was a good, like the Arnold's always a good opportunity to make those connections, like just go hang out with fitness people, whatever level, like amateur, coach, pro. There's just so much there. And then the other big announcement was Arnold saying that he's going to pay Open Bodybuilding more money. Right now they're getting paid, like Hani won $300,000 for the Arnold first place. And do you want to talk about that announcement? You could do an Arnold impersonation.
No, I'm barely not good at voices. But basically Arnold said, I don't feel obliged to follow the rules anymore, so we're going up to 500,000.
Because the Olympia is at 400.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to see. That they might keep it the same this year. I'm not sure. They might also go up to $500,000 this year just because he made that announcement and they don't want to look bad or something. I don't know. But so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
And Jay Cutler got a Lifetime Achievement Award. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a cool speech. I really liked his take on the industry and giving thanks to people that kind of helped him be successful. And
many of which were his competitors, which right. is like
he thanked Ronnie Coleman for
him
making him better.
Bodybuilder of all time.
Yeah. So I have, that's a good point. I very much appreciated that he was thankful for his competition. And it's true. I mean, who you're exposed to can make you better or worse.
You rise to the challenge. And if there's no challenge, there's no reason to rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so that was a really, I appreciated that as well. And then what was the other thing that I was going to say? Oh, Angelica, my longtime favorite bikini pro, Angelica Teixeira, came back to stage after having two kids. And I did not get to speak with her in person. That was a shame, but she has plenty of content on YouTube and I have been kind of like following her journey, and I give so much credit. I think it was very inspiring. She's been like the spearhead for so many moms trying to do this sport after having children, and like the expectation of what your lifestyle is like plus transforming your physique. So she's always a great ambassador for the sport, and I feel like she gave us a little talk on one of her last, I think, Peak Week videos on YouTube. And she said, you know, this is for the moms, but not just for the moms. Like, she made sure to include, like, anybody that's wanting to achieve something that seems impossible, that you can do it. And she gave a speech at the national show that I won and became pro at. And I'll just, like, she's very, very down to earth, but also very inspiring. And if you know anything about her history and her story, like, coming to the United States and speaking no English and unable to get a job and being a grocery bag girl just to like start a life here, and then becoming Miss Olympia, like it's insane. So she's also I was glad to see her step back on stage. And
yeah, she got fourth, right? She did well.
She did excellent. Nothing like a hiatus and coming back getting fourth at the Arnold. But yeah, she's her glutes, man. Holy cow. But I think that pretty much wraps up. You have more?
Yeah, just one thing. When I was talking about who we went around and talked to, I forgot.
Julian Smith.
Yeah. We stopped by the Arms Race Nutrition booth, talked to Julian Smith. I'm trying to talk him into coming out to do the Strict Curl. He seemed down to come out and help out. And then when I mentioned, well, if you want to compete, and he said, yeah, that'll be great for my biceps. And I think he said it kind of tongue-in-cheek. So what I want all of our listeners to do is go on your story and tag him and challenge him to compete.
So make a story, tag Julian Smith. Do you want them to tag
Yeah, you can tag me too.
Raw or Reckless or
maybe Longshot. He knows my handle the best probably.
Okay. So tag Julian, what's his handle?
Smith.Julian.
And tag
Longshot Gamble.
And invite Julian to come compete.
Yeah, at the Strict Curl at Miami on June 1st.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's so, just super down to earth. He's very charismatic, but super humble, very appreciative of support. And this guy has remembered me from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to his first leg day seminar at the Warhouse Gym with Dana Lynn Bailey back in 2018. And we were actually talking about this. And I might have seemed like a stalker in that first year just because I was traveling around and it just happened to be like I got to see him in a bunch of different areas.
Different states.
Yeah, because it was that seminar over the summer. And then that year in November, I went to a Kabuki seminar out in Portland. And he was doing a pop-up at a GNC out there in a mall. So I stopped by and saw him. And he remembered me, like I said, from day one. He's like, oh, hey, what's up, man? We sat there and talked for a little bit. He gave me his number, told me to come by the gym. We can work out. And then I saw him in March at the Arnold the following year. So, since then he's just been a really great guy.
He's a natural bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. Natural bodybuilder. So like I said,
doesn't compete.
Yeah. Anymore. I think he, at one point this past year, he like teased about getting the itch to compete again. So that's one of the reasons why I was like, kind of poking at him. Hey man, step on this one first, you know. But he did cut a little bit for the Arnold to come in a little leaner than my chubby ass. But yeah, so I'm not sure what his competition plans are, but I did invite the whole team Arn out because they do have a bunch of different athletes.
So Arn is Arms Race Nutrition.
Yeah
He is the
spirit. He's the ambassador. He's like the spokesperson that they built the brand around, essentially.
The supplement line.
He partnered with Doug Miller, who runs Core Nutritionals. Mm-hmm. They started Arms Race Nutrition. And I appreciate that the athletes that he sponsors are not just, it's not only people at the top of the game. It's like real, genuine people. And they're all just real nice people. And they're all very hard workers. But I think that the point of Arms Race Nutrition is you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like, that's what I get when I look at his athlete team, when I look at his content, it's you can do it too.
Yeah.
And that's what I really appreciate because that's always been my mentality is you can do it too. And let me help you. And I think that he does a really good job at putting out a bunch of free content, but then also like his daily pump program is like $6 a month. And it's great.
Yeah.
So, anytime people ask me for like a template or a pre-made program, that's usually where I send them. And it's just cause it's good stuff and he's a good person. So, half tongue in cheek telling you to go comment and tag this guy. But honestly, like I do think that it'd be really cool to have him up there curling, have Team Arn out there with, you know, their singlets and stuff. I think it would be really cool. I have some visions for my events that I'm doing with Raw, and they probably won't all come to fruition in 1 year, but that's okay. We're just going to keep building. So,
okay. Well, that pretty much wraps up our Arnold review. We did get to have lunch with Paul and Steven from Pro Physique and Brittany and Jamaica. That was really nice too. Like I said, just opportunities. Philadelphia is calling me to get together with coaches and people in the industry was well worth it.
Yeah, it was a great weekend, great event. We're exhausted, so I apologize
if it's rambly.
yeah, we apologize. Next week will be better,
maybe. And congratulations one more time to Sam McDonough, IFBB Bikini Pro.
Yeah, IFBB Pro.
All right, if you are interested in coaching with physique sports or strength sports, we do offer that. We are both coaches at Reckless Training. So you can go to recklesstraining.com, or the easiest way is to just go to Instagram and message us because we like to talk to people interested in the sport. So you go to reckless_training on Instagram. I'm Chris_IFBB Pro and TC is Longshot Gamble. So you can message us there. Any questions about your current routine, thinking about competing, anything, just hit us up. Let us know what we can help you with. If you're interested in any of our events, well, Raw events or the Reckless Miami Mayhem we're having with Brett Contreras and the American Challenge Strict Curl in Miami, you go to Reckless Training and click the events tab to see anything that we are offering, or you can also contact TC about that too.
Yeah, and if you go to rawpowerlifting.com, that's R-A-W powerlifting.com, there is a 2024 calendar or schedule of events. I forgot what it's called. I think it's schedule. But there is a tab for that as well, and that gives you the entire list. Yeah, feel free to just message me directly for any questions regarding an event that I am partnered with. Or you can message Raw directly for any other events.
And we just want to also take time to thank our donors, people who have donated financial contributions to our podcast. We very much appreciate that. It's absolutely like we are very uncomfortable asking for money, but people who have just gone ahead and made some donations to help keep the podcast. We do have equipment we need to order, especially with having some guests. Yeah, more on that coming, but we very much appreciate those. That it means a lot to us, so thank you for that. Thank you for everybody who tags us and promotes the podcast, who writes a positive review or just hits a 5-star for us. All of that stuff counts and it matters a ton. So if you have a couple seconds, please leave a rating.
Yeah, like and subscribe to the podcast. Like and subscribe on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Because whenever we drop a podcast, we also drop it on YouTube. And going forward, so make sure you subscribe on YouTube, because going forward, I believe that we're going to... our goal is to make this a YouTube live session instead of doing it a video and then posting it afterwards. Our goal is to have it a YouTube live session so that, especially for our Q&A episodes, we'll be able to take questions live, you know, on the air. So you can tune in, and if you want clarification on something, you can ask us. If you have a different question, you can ask us. But our goal is to continue to make this podcast a more efficient route of educating the public on topics that we have.
So. Yeah, and we'll get equipment to support that as well.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Take us out.
And like the one of 200 stickers that I gave to Julian Smith says, work hard, stay humble, and train reckless.